A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This episode is a change of pace, and it's not just Joe and I. It's an interview with someone who has a real-life marketing challenge. Someone that, in his own words, has run a few rodeos. In this episode, we had the absolute pleasure of speaking with Andy Lord, the founder of Credursi, a high-growth, disruptive education and training platform. It's a question that growth-hungry entrepreneurs, startups, scale-ups, and those with growth within their sights have often asked. What's the right way to grow? Creating an in-house marketing team or working with an agency?
I'm Joe Glover, founder of The Marketing Meetup, a global community that connects and educates over 20,000 marketers in the most lovely way possible. Everything we do it to put the human beings we help first.
I'm Richard Wood. I lead the marketing agency Six & Flow. I've worked in marketing for around 19 years now, and I'm a massive believer in that marketers should be trying to engage with people on a human level, not just treating them as leads and numbers in a spreadsheet.
Last time I saw you two together, you were both speaking at the marketing meetup. So it's funny that you sort of come on the same night. You know?
Well, if you remember, because I kind of tell a lot of people this story about putting yourself out there. You and I met because you were looking for some space in Manchester, and I said, yeah. You know what, come and if coordination's offices will do it, you can have it for free. It'd be my pleasure. And you came, and you're the first person that I've met in a long time that having looked the gift horse in the mouth, then said, nah, do you know what? It's probably not. I'll tell you what. And so I thought, oh, fair play. Good luck. I hope your first meeting in Manchester crashes and bombs now then. And then you said, I said, listen, if ever you want anyone to turn up last minute and blah, 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 give me a shout. And I think you'd have been let down by somebody. And you said, could you turn up and do this session and talk to a load of marketeers? I'm like, yeah, of course, thinking to myself, what on earth am I going to do? And I put my slides together, and they were all like pictures from Banksy. I remember it, I've still got the slide deck, right? They're all pictures from Banksy. And I had this like random stuff. And then I had Billy Connolly talking about don't swear in front of your audience and all of that. And Rich was there. I'd never met Rich. And I had the envious task of going before him. And I could see when I looked at his slide deck that he was looking through, his were all beautiful and HubSpot and all graphics of that. And I'm thinking, I tell you what, you better be funny, Andy, because your content is crap. And then we swapped handshakes. He said, wow, I'll follow that then. And then his was brilliant. And I was like trying to sneak off in the corner. And I said, wow, let's keep in touch. And now my daughter works with Rich. So that whole serendipity thing is beautiful. It's beautiful. It is.
Charlie's absolutely smashing it. She's doing really well.
Yeah. Yeah, she loves it. She absolutely loves it. But
much better marketer than you, Andy.
I don't doubt it. And of course, you'd expect, wouldn't you, with the question that I've asked, that my daughter would be the first person to come to me to saying, I could come and do this for you again, Dad. And what she actually said was, do you want me to walk you through our points-based system so you know how much you're going to spend?
So that's the training coming full circle. Well done, Charlie.
Yeah.
So I think you've segued us beautifully into the starting question then, Andy. So you called out both Joe and I on a LinkedIn post because you've posed the question. So I think you're relatively speaking starting your marketing journey with your business, your new business now, Credursi, and you're posing the question, do you want to go, should you be going down the agency route? So like hiring in and kind of or drafting in consultative talent or bringing that talent in the business and like hiring. So agency or hiring in a nutshell.
Yeah.
So why? Like why are you at that point now? So give us a bit of background into Credursi. So like why are you at the start of your journey? Not why are you at the start, because obviously you're at the beginning because that's why you're at the start. But like why are you now thinking about growing out that marketing piece?
Okay. So we spent the last 6 months, June to December, with a retained PR company, and I'd had a bit of a vision that before we did lots of inbound or outbound marketing, I wanted to people to know who we were, because we got some very cool stories to tell about the journey that my business has been on, that Credursi has been on. So I went for, let's do some brand awareness stuff. And I worked with this very clever guy who got me across all sorts of media all over the world, actually. So beyond my expectations. And I don't know whether it directly brought any new customers, but what it did was cement the relationship with the customers that I have. We did lots of shout outs for them as well. So they enjoyed.
You did branded golf balls as well.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Branded golf balls. Listen, we went all out this year with the hoodies. And if you guys haven't got one, you need to have one. and so we didn't do customer acquisition. That actually fell to me. So our marketing was about brand awareness. This year or next year, 2022, I can't personally afford the time to be our customer acquisition specialist. And the people that I've hired into the business, there's only 15, 16 of us, people that I've hired into the business are at full capacity. Now, I know that full capacity doesn't last, right? If it did, we wouldn't be having the conversation. So I need to start thinking about customer acquisition in maybe quarter three of next year and doing it in a nice way rather than a blunt instrument kind of way. And so that was the catalyst of the conversation. And to be fair, I have most of these conversations in my own head, which is where all of the conversations start and finish, right?
that's the curse of being a founder. Like, out of interest, Andy, like, this isn't your first rodeo in terms of business stuff. So do you feel like you're able to almost accelerate having these conversations in your own head a lot sooner than you would have done the first or second time around? Are you sort of approaching things a little bit differently this time?
Yeah, because one of the dilemmas was my last rodeo, mm-hmm. where I learned loads, and I'm very grateful for that journey. I definitely was making most of it up as I went along, which is kind of fine. It's a perfect science, right? You can't be wrong because you just made it up. And I hired actually my daughter to come and work for me. And I suddenly realized that she was looking to me to guide her with what we wanted. And I was also making that up. So trying to teach somebody to follow my imagination and then go and execute on it was tough. It was a great kind of learning curve for her. So I know the things that I don't want to do, and I know the things that I do want to do, mm-hmm. but I don't know the answer to the question, which is why I went and reached out to the experts and thought maybe there is a sweet science in all of this, or maybe not.
So last rodeo, what made you yeah. hire internally? So like, why did you go down that route?
Because most of the things that we were doing was reactive.
Yep.
We built a phenomena. You know, I have to say, I'm very proud of it. We built a phenomena. And when you're in the eye of the storm of the phenomena, I think I came and met you actually, Rich, and we talked about planning 3 or 6 months ahead. And in my brain, that inner voice was saying, you know, I'm planning 3 and 6 minutes ahead. So 3 and 6 months, I don't have the capacity for it. So at least I have somebody kind of sat in the room with me. And then this, whatever this is, happens, I can say, okay, I want to jump on that. You know, I look back at that, and some of that was a brilliant decision-making process, and some of it was just frenetic and chaos. And I'm sure both of you can associate with that, but you don't have time in the moment. And what I have decided I'm going to do is give myself some time to do the next thing around marketing and branding and all that. I'm going to do it with a plan and some strategy. So I've kind of written my own skeleton one. And now I need to decide what's the best way to execute on it.
So in your last role, and from what I know of you, you are like, you've used the word like phenomenon. I'm not going to say you're necessarily your own Thank phenomenon, you. But you are the brand, like, essentially. So like, before I knew of your last business, I knew of you as a person, and therefore that's associated. And that's like a conversation that Joe and I have had many, many times on this podcast around the transition that founders go through from you are the brand, you are building the company in your image, and then you transition, and you're like, actually, that's a really fucking bad idea because I'm not perfect. And then you, maybe you are, Andy, but we're not.
No, listen, I also know that, right? That's a really inhibiting place to be. If you are your own company, I mean, it's exhausting to start with. It also doesn't enable other people in the team to put their foot forward and become bigger and better. I've hired people like that. All of the books tell you, I've hired people who are better than me, but what they don't have is the same insatiable ego as I have. And therefore, I listen to their thoughts and then say, if I had 2% of Andy Lord on that, then that's going to be even better, right? This time, right? That's part of that strategic thinking, is to make sure that other people get to become synonymous with the brand of Credosi. So yeah, you're 100% right.
So what?
But thank you for acknowledging that you knew me before you knew the brand. That, see, that has done wonders for my day already.
I think it was a Crime Watch special at that point, maybe. So you're saying, like, you've got a sketched out strategy. So what is the end point? Like, where are you trying to get to with marketing specifically?
Yeah. So this is going to sound like I'm blowing smoke at you now, but so I'd never heard of HubSpot before I met you, not really. And then I went and read kind of a lot of books about funnel marketing and inbound marketing, all of those things that I thought actually were marketeer speak as an excuse to charge loads of money because here's a science that we know that you don't. And then totally fell in love with the idea of engaging people and taking them on a journey and being part of the story and kind of not jumping all over people to buy from you. I think I used to do that sometimes, kind of naturally. I think that, you know, that's the, some salespeople have that. But also, I also used to do use a sledgehammer to crash a nut, to crack a nut type sales. So to answer your question specifically, what I want is people to see the amazing stuff that we do, be engaged with it, feel like they can contribute. I don't mean to the journey of Credosi, but to our products and the things that we've developed. We're doing a lot of work in COVID testing, believe it or not, and that has been absolutely fascinating. And we've been working with a client who said, if I can pitch in and tell you what I want you to train our people in, I'll buy as many as you can give me, which is like your dream, right? But I kind of, so I'm taking that as a model to say, we've got other products and services and I'd like the end result that customers feel like they can contribute to what we're doing, because then we're creating a perfect product for them to buy. And then if you cut through all of that bullshit, that's not bullshit, but you cut through all of the words, what I want is my phone to ring with people to say, I love what you do and I've followed your story and I'd like to buy some products off you, please.
That's beautifully segued into, and what probably where we should have started is, what did Credosi do? Like, give us that piece first.
Okay. So if you look at Credosi.com, you'll see this wonderful video that we've put up there, which is like my pitch deck to clients. So real fast, in my previous gig, when lockdown happened, and I'm not trying to have the monopoly on feeling sorry for myself, but it totally transformed the training industry. We were a high touch, hands-on, classroom-based training organization that immediately, like everybody else, had to pivot to be Mac screen first, whatever your preferred tool of choice is, right? And everybody said that what we were doing was brilliant. We won awards, and I kept thinking, I'm the only person in the room that thinks it's dreadful. The whole Zoom fatigue that we've, you know, I've written articles, you probably have as well, all of that. If I flip it to me, I'm sure my mum calls me a fidget. I think a doctor would say I've got ADHD, right? I'm sure now these days that that's what you'd be. I'd be on Ritalin now, wouldn't I? And instead I'm having coffee and getting wired. So I'm kind of enjoying all of that. That whole trying to capture people's attention and imagination, where you undoubtedly, if you're going to train them, you are going to do it like this, right? You are going to do it over a screen. There's no escaping that. How do I build something that is super engaging? That was the challenge that I gave to myself. So when I took my well-documented year off and riding motorbikes and blah, we've heard it all before, right? What I also did was Google to death what could be the most engaging platform. And as sometimes serendipity happens, I found my mates at Pixelmax were building a virtual world, a virtual platform for people to meet in. So people say like a competitor to Hopin, but absolutely definitely not. Built on a gaming engine, and if you're gamers, it's built on the Unreal gaming engine, which is the product that Fortnite is built on. So it's like super realistic. They are building meeting places and virtual office space and stuff. And I went and approached them and said, would you build me a virtual campus? Could we do the same thing so that people from all over the world could engage in a really cool campus setup, have things to do outside of scheduled class time, and make it to be a place that felt like I could build a community? And I know that that's like the most overused word on LinkedIn, but actually for me, it was really important. And they said, yeah, pay me and pay us and we'll do it. We're a startup. We've just got loads of funding. We're really cool, innovative. It's not our core business, so we'll do it once for you. So we've built, and again, on the website, I'm not saying that because I'm sure you'll edit it out, right? But if you look at it, you'll get a great idea of the concept of what it is. And so version one is it's a 3D world that you don't need VR goggles to explore. There's yoga classes in there. There's different classrooms. There's Easter eggs hidden so people can go and explore the world. I actually said that to one of the project managers that were building it. And she said, why do you want Easter eggs? And I'm like, because I'm surprised. And she said, surely it will only be a surprise at Easter. And I'm like, no, go and look it up. And so we do training in science and technology, but and we do it currently over Teams, right? And so it feels like a bit of an oxymoron, but I know that that's not where the journey finishes for me. So in January, maybe February, when it's good enough, you'll enter our Credercy world. And then when Zuckerberg announced that he was buying every URL with the word metaverse in it, I don't know whether you ever saw that, right? And I went out and bought theeducationmetaverse.com before he did, right? So my education metaverse is a place where students can come to learn in a platform. But also, I've signed up my first franchisee yesterday. So we're going to get other training partners who don't perhaps have the reach and the brand of Andy Lord and Credercy to jump on that world. And I'm going to build it out. And on the video, you'll see this morning, I was supposed to be going seeing UA92, Gary Neville's university. Right. And for one reason or another, it's been put back to like January the 5th. But I put them in there and I want to encourage them to do the same. So I'm building a platform for learning. I'm doing really, really good stuff around learning. And I'm using brilliant technology to engage an audience like they've never been done before. Is that succinct enough? Wow.
Yeah.
It's huge, okay. Man. So how... You know, so the scenario which you describe where someone picks up the phone and says to you, you know, Andy, I think you're cool. I think what you're doing is cool. Let's work together. What's the ask that they sort of say? Do they say, you know, I want to put my class on the platform? Do they say, I want to be a student that sort of engages with it? I mean, how would like a customer sort of like engage with the platform?
Yeah, great question. So in my last rodeo, we were B2C and B2B. B2C is very hard yards. In the world that I'm in, finding someone to part with $5,000 or $6,000 or whatever the course costs, and then expect a job at the end of it, which is the only reason why someone should do it, by the way. I'm a massive advocate for that. I had to build an army of people that were capable of finding those students a job. And in my tenure there, we were very honest. So we did software developers. And it's interesting, the branding of the company that I used to work with has changed. Mine was not everybody can be a software developer, because clearly that is true. And it's been flipped on its head to be everybody can be a developer. And I know that that can't be true, right? Because I can't be one. And so it's not B2C. So then the B2B is you either love the courses that we've built, and you can see some value. So back to the stuff that we're doing in laboratories, we've built what we called an express course. How do you train people so that they can work safely in a laboratory where there's millions and millions of pounds worth of equipment without letting them loose in the laboratory? Well, it feels like you can't. Well, we have done. So the lab world, and labs don't have to just be COVID testing. There's lots of labs in oil and gas and geology and, you know, you name it, and tobacco products and so on and so forth. There's a real shortage in the market for what's a lab technician, because it's kind of entry level, and it's always been the preserve of you go to university to become a lab technician or you come from abroad. So Brexit, COVID, perfect storm for a skills gap. So you might have a lab and you need people, and rather than go and try and recruit from that very small pond, you can train people. So that might be a customer call that we get. We work with a really cool software testing company, Rock. I can give him a shout out because he's all over the press. Who said, one of the things that we can't find are software testers. And we said, well, we'll create you an academy. If you give me a volume order, we'll create an academy. We built a bespoke training program. And they'll take 50 people a year. And then we'll widen that to the software testing community. And then we're doing some really, really innovative stuff with a product called RDK, Romeo Delta Kilo. Nobody knows what it is, except it's definitely in your house right now. So if you've got Sky or Netflix, the connected device world is run on a software called RDK. RDK are owned by Comcast. They're the people that own Sky. Yeah. They have this global network of people that implement their software. And we're the global training partners for that. And when Sky Glass TV came out just recently, if you've not seen the adverts, you must have, right? The model for Sky has changed. So they've gone from dishes on your roof to a smart TV, right? It's all done by broadband speed. 5G is going to enable that to happen on a worldwide scale. But their model is a little bit like the Apple App Store, right? So you, with a smart TV, you've got no storage, right? There is no memory for it. So you have to stream all of the content, and they've got a nice interface that plucks content from other providers. If you want to be a provider on Sky, you have to join their app store. If you want to join their app store, you have to build your interface in a product called Lightning, and we're the global training partners for Lightning, right? So it's all really nice. So you either buy what we've already got and you love it and you engage with us because we're great at training. You've got an innovative idea that you want to put together a training course for, or you want to buy some space. So I'm actually a virtual real estate salesman. I never thought I would ever say that, but other people are doing it, and it turns out that so am I. So we're building a cinema on there for one of our clients to be able to showcase some of their product. It's crazy, isn't it? But brilliant, like brilliant. It feels like it's all of the things that I've learned on the journey have culminated into a sweet spot of that is the most bonkers thing I've ever heard of, but it's also beautiful.
Who is it you're selling to, though? So, like, the individuals within these companies, who are you targeting?
I mean, it's the standard answer, which is C-suite, depending on the structure of the company. Learning and development, if the organization is big enough and lucky enough to have their own department. We've also got our apprenticeship license for science. So anyone that might handle that who wants to get rid of their apprenticeship levy. But then in the stuff that we're doing with RDK, we're working with like the C-suite of tech innovators in their business. So right up at the upper echelons so far.
That's interesting. And when you have your conversations with them, so, you know, there's a challenge that's going through my mind, which is it seems like you've got the world at your fingertips. And actually sometimes specificity helps, you know, because, like, you know, you can sort of say, I do this very specific thing. So, like, when you go in and say about the totality of it, the folks kind of go, whoa, you know, when you're pitching, do you almost have to be super specific so they kind of get it? Or, you know, is that how you're...
I've got some great examples. I spoke to one of the founders of a huge white goods online retailer that I know personally, right? And walked him through what we were doing. And he very kindly said, listen, send me your pitch deck and I'll have a conversation with you. And I know he's definitely too busy to do that. And he probably has 40 layers below him. That would probably deal with that. So I was grateful for the terrible feedback that you gave me, which is, and I quote, I have no fucking idea what any of this is about, and therefore I can see no reason to be involved in it, right? And I kind of swallowed hard and went, wow, but thank you for the feedback, right? There's a moment to go and refine your pitch. I don't mind using this brand. So I pitched Uber Eats on... what day is it today? Thursday, Tuesday. I was with Uber Eats and they were brilliant. I put a LinkedIn post. Listen, if anybody wants to understand the power of LinkedIn, I'm all over it, right? That's why I'm sat with you guys. But In the video, that if you look through it, the final shot is in the cafeteria, right? The money shot is in the cafeteria. And my vision is that people who are in the virtual world will meet in that cafeteria. It's got nice tech in it where you can have video chat, you can have text to chat, you can pick up the phone, or in version two, which is only like quarter two of next year, your avatar will be in there. It isn't the kind of stuff that Zuckerberg's done. It's not that cool yet. But your representation of you, that could just be a circle with your name above it, right? So that we all know who are in. And then there's the bump to chat feature. I know you're there. I can go and bump and it'll give you a little nudge, right? And the cafeteria is our meeting place. We've got some guest speakers lined up. It'd be great, by the way, you too, I'm sure you would. But we've got scientists and we've got some real cool things happening. And we also do an online yoga class that we'll beam through the on Fridays. And I wanted the idea to be that you're in the online cafeteria, you're in the metaverse, but you're also sat at home or in your office. And wouldn't it be nice to do that social thing that as tribes we always should try to do, which is break bread together, have a sandwich or have a coffee. Wouldn't that be beautiful? And then I thought, why would I not ask Uber Eats to feature on my metaverse where that when people go in the cafeteria, depending on the IP address, they would be served local content. So you see the local menu you can get. And we can say, shall we have lunch at one? And you have yours delivered to your house and I have mine delivered to my house or home. And we can be sat here eating and drinking together, but we could also be sat there pretending to eat and drink together. So I pitched Uber Eats and they loved it. I got to say, they're kind of just like, wow, this is amazing. And the guy that I spoke to said, I think you might be 3 or 4 years ahead of the curve here. And I said, I remember that story like we all do when Netflix arrived and people said, people will never want to stream movies. I kind of like going and getting a physical thing. So the answer to your question is, I have to be a bit specific. I have to tailor my message to the audience. Not everybody cares about my Uber Eats story, although everyone does like it, but not everyone cares about it. The customers care about, if I spend money with you, will the people that you train be better than they were before they met you? Will they then be efficient for my business? That kind of, that's one model. Mm. But the software testing company said, we can't find any, right? And we are a consultancy. We deploy them on other people's sites. And there's a swell of need for us. And it's stilted by our ability to find people. So we speak about how we design training courses.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay, So on the marketing side, so if we jump into like the overall question, so I think we've got like a good breadth and depth of what you're trying to do and what the product does now. But if we jump into like the options, so like hiring or bringing on an agency, when you say hiring, what level are you talking about? Are you talking about bringing in a marketing intern that's going to pump some blogs out and like listen to you, like what you're talking about? Or are you talking about going and getting like a marketing director who's then going to build a team?
Probably somewhere between the two, which is like the worst answer ever, right?
Yeah.
So I know that we create amazing content every day. If you've ever watched Breaking Bad, which you're bound to have at some point, right? The Credersi HQ looks like a scene from Breaking Bad because part of our training
program... It's not the end scene where everybody's dead, is it?
No, it feels like it might be. We send out science kits. So again, part of my vision was I like cooking, right? And I enjoy having... Mindful Chef delivered. And I like the idea that I now no longer choose what I'm going to get. It arrives and I cook it. And I like the challenge of here's food I might never have created and here's ingredients I might never have used. And I'm good at cooking. So I like that, right? And I thought, if I'm going to get into science, surely one of the things that I want to do is play with kits, right? So why does nobody send out a science kit? So we do. We send out a science kit, all tested to make sure there's nothing explosive. And but you get a lab coat and glasses and you get pipettes and all of those things delivered if you do one of our courses. So you can see, right, as the marketeers in you thinking, oh, my God, there's so much great content there and blah, 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 right? That's just like one of the things that we do. We do nothing in terms of blog writing. You're right. Right now, I'm teaching my team to use LinkedIn. So we're getting better at LinkedIn. So we've got daily content that we can put out. We've got great stories that we are creating and crafting that could make for blogs and so on and so forth. But we don't do anything really with our HubSpot engine. We've got loads of data that we're capturing, and we're going to get more and more and more as people come into our theeducationmetaverse.com. Thank you, Zuckerberg, right? So we've got that. And that would be a cheap and cheerful, right? I could go and get an intern or a junior marketeer to say, just follow this and do what we did, which is what I did last time, right? That's exactly what I did last time, be reactive. But what I actually want to do is have a strategy that says, we're going to talk and engage with our customers and take them on the journey. I know I said that earlier, and that isn't somebody who it's their first rodeo. If you've never done that before, you can't possibly decide that you're going to do it. So kind of one of my questions back to you was, imagine I was going to bring somebody in-house for a second, which I'm kind of open-minded about what we do, genuinely. It's a genuine dilemma that I've got. Do you find somebody who has been worked in an agency or worked in a corporate, doesn't want the stress and pressure and blah, 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 and is a bit of a jack of all trades? And if you do, how much does that person cost you? Or is that like the stupidest idea, and actually what you need is a blend of two? And so would I bring somebody in that was more senior? Yeah, because I know a whatever the salary is, 20, 25 grand person wouldn't have the gray hair to be able to also do some planning. They'd be probably amazing at creating cool footage.
So I like my view. So obviously I run an agency, and this is going to, like, obviously everybody's expecting me to kind of fall in that camp. My view on it is, we only ever have successful relationships with clients when there is somebody who owns marketing on their side. And it's very rarely the owner, founder, operator, because you're, like you said before, like you're pulled in like a million different directions. Mm. So my initial gut feel on this stuff is that you bring somebody in, but it has to be somebody in who is experienced and confident enough to also play the bullshit filter from Andy Lord to actually producing the marketing stuff. So it has to be somebody who can translate your vision and turn that into reality. Now, the more senior you go, the less hands-on they're going to be, right? Because obviously they need thinking time. They need to actually have time to put like thoughts down on paper. Okay, what is the strategy? What are we doing in Q1? Okay, what's the right wider roadmap? So when you get to that point, they're then going to have less time to actually do the social, create workflows, like send out email campaigns. And that's where that relationship between agency and internal starts to come into play. So like when I saw your original question, obviously it's like a super like loaded, nuanced question with all sorts of questions, which is why we spent nearly 40 minutes asking you about like your business. But for each one of those, for me, the ideal relationship is that you actually end up with both, but you start with the internal. Because if you bring in an agency, be it our agency or any other agency, we're going to spend a lot of time actually helping you translate what that vision is. But you already have some of that vision. So what you need is someone to articulate that. Now, we work with clients to help them articulate that strategy. So we get to understand your business. We build out the strategy. We build roadmaps. Here's what we're going to deliver over the quarters, all that kind of stuff. But actually, because you are also in that fun space of like startup, I know you're kind of like past the start, like stage, but you're in that fun space of you're trying things. It's still very much like the Andy Lord show is still very much part of that brand. An agency working externally is never going to be able to translate that. So they might be able to amplify it, but they are never going to be able to like actually carry the can in its entirety. So if you went down the agency route, you would not be able to step away from marketing in the next 6 months. So you would have to have somebody who's going to help you in that process. So that's like my initial thoughts. Joe?
Yeah, I fully agree. I think there's there's a big thing about the messaging and stuff like that. And I think actually it might be quite nice, because there was a comment that you made earlier, Andy, which was like, oh, a lot of this comes from my own head. You know, I have conversations with myself, you know, to sort of figure this out. If you have a more senior person in, they'll also be able to push back, you know, and sort of have conversations with you and help you refine that message. And I guess you don't, it strikes me that you don't want someone who you're telling what to do on a daily basis. You want someone who can just sort of take it and fly, you know, to a certain extent, and sort of bump into you along the way and sort of run with you when you need to. And for that reason, I think it probably is someone in-house. It's someone more senior, someone who can articulate and also have the basic understanding of marketing, and also take a different perspective on the stuff that you get fed back on. So like a big part will be understanding the market, understanding the target market, recognizing where the trends are coming from and stuff like that. All that stuff is done at the strategy stages. All that stuff is done on the fly. And particularly as your business is moving so quick, you know, you're only going to have these folks sort of recognizing these things if they're working on it properly full time, I think. Personally.
I think also like stage of business and your personality, I think it needs to be somebody who has the credentials that you believe in them off the bat, because it's going to be for your next stage of marketing, it's going to be a step change in pace, right? Because at the moment you make decisions very, very quickly. You try things, you move on. Whereas what you need to do from your marketing is actually start to go, okay, what are we planning for the next 3 months? What are we planning for the 6 months after that? How do we keep, like, what's our end goal? And building out those plans. And I think if you don't have somebody that you personally believe in, then waiting for the action to happen on the strategic long goal, long-term goals is going to be a challenge for you and the business. Now, an agency relationship, if like it's even more difficult to see that stuff happening, because you wouldn't be sat at the desks next to the agency. You wouldn't necessarily see the stuff. And there's a lot of like that initial promise of, look, you are going to see this stuff in a few months. And I think having a senior head is like internally where you can say, here is my vision. Here's the point I want you to get me to. Now tell me how we're going to get it. We'll work on that together. And once you sign off on that, okay, what tools do you need to deliver that? So they are the the maestro in that situation, where they are saying, okay, here's the marketing levers we're going to pull. And that might be, okay, now I'm going to bring in a more junior marketer who's actually going to get the marketing done. Or we don't have capacity, we don't have knowledge, and we don't have the skill sets to deliver on this part of the strategy. I'm going to engage an agency for this part. Does that make sense so far?
It does. And I think, I'm sure I wasn't expecting you to say anything else, right? I don't think I was. So here's my fear. As the customer listening to this, everything that you said makes perfect sense. And like I just said, it's probably what I expected you to say. But if you just take a step out and in my world for a second, so we're on scale up rather than startup,
yep.
But it's the second phase of startup, right? We've got customers. We learned from my last rodeo, let's keep using that expression, of get things in the right order. Customer acquisition by brand personality has been the way it's been done first. And then engaging them to work with us and helping us define our products has been like a beautiful process, actually. And revenue starting to come in now, and we can forecast 6 or 9 months worth of revenue next year. So I'm sat thinking, okay, well, what we've got is working now. It's not by any means perfect, but it's quite good, right? So I now need to make the next leap, which is to shore it up, make sure I can see revenues for 18 and 36 and so on and so forth, right? So then I go and bring a marketeer, and we've already established that there's a tipping point, I think is what you said, right? That the more senior they become, the less hands-on they are, because they like the strategy side of it. But I haven't really got the capacity for that yet financially, because marketing, that's been me. So I spent nothing other than, actually I spent money on PR. That wasn't cheap. So marketing has been me, and then I need to step away and I need to bring somebody in to do the marketing and put a strategy in place and make it less about brand Andy and more about brand Credercy. I totally get that and endorse that. If the first thing that they did when I hired them is say, right, the next thing I need to do is I'm going to ring Rich at Six and Flow because they're the best that I know and they do this. My marketing budget's gone from zero to whatever that equates to be a month, 20 grand a month now, or whatever I'm in, 15, 20 grand a month. And I would look back and go, wow, that's a big leap. And so I need to do the, like the steps, do one, see that works, do the next thing, keep reinvesting. I'm very happy to reinvest in it because I'm a believer in the science. So I think it's what I thought you would say, but I'm also now sat here going, oh.
So there is a third option, right? So the third option is that you engage both sides. So you still bring in a marketer. You could go slightly less senior. It has to be somebody who has done some yards, understands the tool set. So you're not teaching them marketing, right? But then you engage a consultant or an agency to actually work with you to define the strategy. And so like build out a 12-month roadmap. Here's where we're going to get to. Here's the plan. And then you give that to the marketer and say, here are the bits that you're going to execute on. Here is your plan for 12 months. This is the stuff you're going to do. These are the KPIs we're targeting. And then you engage the agency or consultant every quarter as a check back, not to manage the person, but to say, okay, where have we got to? So like, here's the strategy we set out. Here's the KPIs that we were focusing on. Where are we up to against those? It's not quite hitting those KPIs. Here's the adjustment we're going to make, or like, here's what we're going to do. So, and do it that way. So you're actually bringing in the brain power without having the ongoing salaried cost, and you're bringing in the, like the marketing doing power. I think, but I still come back to whatever angle you go, I would definitely bring in a marketer who is in-house because of the way that your business is growing. It's like for us, we wouldn't have been able to, and Joe's business as well. We are businesses, so all three of our businesses are built on culture and personality in their infancy. And yeah. An external entity cannot promote that in the same way that you can. So you need to bring somebody in who from the inside is going to help promote that, but all obviously still chase like the customer acquisition KPIs. So my answer is still, you could do both, but actually you could probably do both in a slightly separate way. So use the agency to help with this strategic side. Now, the only caveat to that is you need to be in a position where you work on the strategy with the consultant, but then once it's agreed, you hand off it because the internal, like you sign off on it, that's the direction we're going to go. And because the internal marketer, if you go slightly more junior, isn't going to have either the credentials to give you the confidence for them to be able to push back on you, or the confidence to push back on you necessarily. So I think if you go down that route, you need to at least say, okay, for a quarter, I'm going to let you run with this strategy. I expect you to deliver. Here's the KPIs. And we'll have some benchmarks in it that says like red flags. So if it goes out of these KPIs within this region, then I'm going to step back in and we're going to have to look at stuff. But if, as long as we're flying within this flight path, good to go. Your hands off for a quarter. You then bring in the consultant again to review where you're up to and then build it off that way. And then in theory, after 6 months, you should then be in a position where you could bring in that senior head.
Wow. Joel, you nearly said something.
No, I quite like that, to be honest. I think Rich has been fairly conclusive. I'm almost putting myself in the shoes of that, you know, that marketer, and just sort of thinking, you know, what that would be like, you know. And I guess, you know, I'm probably around the sort of age range of that sort of person. You know, I'm turning 30, you know, in January. So, you know, it would be that person who sort of comes in. I've done 8 years, but I haven't done the 15 or whatever it that Rich has, you know, and or the 40 that Rich has or something like that.
Careful, yeah. Andy. Here's his pitch. He's going to put his hat in the ring for the role now.
No, I do not need the work.
Fucking hell, Joe.
Who's doing marketing for you? I want to hire them because in that case, they're doing a great job.
But, you know, like I fully agree. And I quite like the sound of that third thing. But I do, you know, I've worked with, you know, I think you're a strong personality, Andy, you know, and I've worked with strong personalities in the past. And you know, people like even Rich and I, you know, who sort of go, right, we're going to do this today. You know, so that 3 month thing feels really important. So, you know, that would be the only thing that I could sort of reemphasize.
So we, Andy, we use a management model called EOS. So that's, and loads of agencies use it, the Entrepreneurs Operating System. And it has a role at the top, which it's very American, but, and it makes you sound like a twat, but it's the role at the top is visionary. And that's, and the visionary is like the ideas person, right? So you have a million ideas over and over again. One in 20 of them is a good idea. The rest of it is complete bullshit, but will take you down a tangent and could derail the company. But so, and then the next role that you have within that is the integrator. Now the integrator is basically like the person who makes the business run, who actually takes the bullshit ideas, filters them out, gives the good ideas to the company, and is that like that bounce back point. Now I'm not suggesting you take on like a new management principle or bring on that integrator, but I think what you need, and this is exactly what I need as well, because we're very similar in our approach to the business kind of space and like marketing and promotion, is from that marketing piece, you will need a bullshit filter and like for a marketing integrator, because you need somebody who's going to say, no, Andy, great idea, but let's shelve that one for Q4 because we're focused on this bit and it's working, and we'll come back to that at some point. And that's why I think you will need somebody who at some point who is that strong personality that you believe in. And that's the important bit. Like whether or not they've got the creds is one thing, but you have to have confidence that they're going to deliver on the goals for you. And I think potentially bringing in a consultant to help outline the strategy that you have worked on with that consultant, bringing on a marketer to deliver on that strategy, and then you having the confidence to go, all right, I'll dip back into marketing in 3 months.
And actually having the confidence as well also to sort of say, you know, for that time, Andy can also be Andy, you know, and keep on doing what you're doing, because actually, you know, it's clearly working.
Well, that would be part of the strategy though, right? So you would initially go, okay, so we're going to do blogs, we're going to do webinars, all that kind of normal business as usual crap that goes on within the inbound side. But also, and on that, I would also say the kind of people you're going after are not going to read your fucking blogs. So like, don't make that your main content piece. But like at the same time, make part of the strategy Andy being Andy on LinkedIn, but just make sure it aligns. Make sure that there's ways for people, like we're closing that loop and the activity that you're doing is actually driving home the end goals of that strategy.
Have you noticed that some of my LinkedIn posts perhaps don't fall into that category? Is that right?
But this is perfect. So this is like one of the first podcasts that Joe and I did was talking about that, was it jab, jab, punch type scenario with LinkedIn, right? So if you go out to LinkedIn and you're like, buy my shit, download my guide, like sponsor this, do all this shit, people are like, Andy's just asking me to do more stuff. So I'm just going to block him out because it's all ask, ask, ask. But if you post, like if you mix it up and you start posting things with that is give, 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 and then you have an ask, and like, and it should be almost like a 5-2 ratio, and I'm pulling that number out of my ass, but like it should be so much give that when you do have an ask, people pay attention to it. And I think your posts are very good at, it's rare that you have an ask. I mean, there are some, but it's rare that I would go on there and be like, fucking hell, Andy is asking for another thing. It's more likely to be like, fucking hell, Andy, that's a bit close to the bone. But like, but I think that gives you, that makes you who you are. And therefore at this point in Credursi's journey makes Credursi who, what Credursi is as well. And I would just make sure whatever strategic direction you take leans on that, and but make sure that it aligns with what you're doing as well.
Yeah, when I teach my staff about LinkedIn, just tangentially, I have my sciences, four gives and one ask, right? People will forgive you for asking for one thing. So that's like how I remember those metrics. And it's not a science, and it's not Monday to Thursday's give and Friday's ask days, but it's generally be four times more generous than everybody else who's just asking. And that way, exactly as you said, which is why we're here. Well, I mean, it's not why we're here, because I then had to send a note to Joe to say, you know, I haven't fucking heard anything back. I actually think I said, it's not like Rich isn't HubSpot expert and shit art in marketing, so I can't imagine why you wouldn't be interested in this conversation. But if you take that out of the equation.
I haven't covered myself in glory in our interactions, have I, really? Like,
No, Andy, your space is shit and I don't care about your question. That's pretty much your relationship with that, Joe. And to be fair, even Charlie, your daughter, reached out to me and was like, Dad is thinking about this. And in my defense, I went back to her and said, absolutely, happy to chat, just get him to like throw something in the diary. So I was waiting for that. I thought, you know, like we'll have a private discussion, and then you took it public. So it's on you, not me.
Yeah, it's all your fault.
So Andy, we've like talked loads there. Has that given you any sort of question, any sort of answers around your initial question?
It has, and then I've got the $1 million question, right? I saw one of Joel's posts the other day, which was, I'm only going to advertise on my, you don't know I'm building a job board, but I'm going to build a job board for marketeers, kind of course, right? Jobs that have got salaries on them. And I'm a big endorser of that, by the way. All of the stuff that I see about why would you not? The reason that you wouldn't is because you're going to pay people more than you're paying your own staff, number one. Or you're going to fire the guy who's on more or less to bring somebody in, or all of those things, right? So tell the world what you're going to pay. And then at least when people are applying, they know what they're getting themselves in for. It's a tough world out there, right? Yeah. I genuinely have no idea, none at all. I'd have to just make a number up and hope I landed, which is stupid. Mm-hmm. For the person that we've described, the somebody with good personality skills, somebody who can handle my insatiable appetite to be heard, and dreaming up 20 ideas and one of them being brilliant. I mean, I'd like to think that it's more of a 6-to-1 for me, but whatever works for you, Rich. that person who can also then liaise with a brilliant consultant and say, we're doing this, and I also have to be fleet of foot, and I also have to say, I'm on it and I love it and I'm managing my own time and blah, 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 right? I'm results driven. I have no idea what that person gets paid. I know what it isn't. I know it isn't 25 grand or 30 grand. I know it's not that. I think I know it's not that. Give me a ballpark number that you think would be the sweet spot for the skills that we've described. Put yourself out there on your own podcast.
So for that senior marketing role?
Yeah.
Or the mid-level marketing role that works alongside the consultant?
The latter, the mid-level marketing role that works alongside the consultant, because I think as a strategy that resonates well with me.
Based in the north or based in the south?
Based in the north, in the happy camp of Manchester, ideally.
Okay, so you are, to be frank, the recruitment world is wild at the moment. Because it went remote, there's like tech companies starting to dip in all over the place and all that kind of stuff. But having said that, I think you would probably get away with somebody in the mid-30s, would be my guess.
Yeah, what would you say, Joe?
I was going to say 40. So like, you know, I think you got probably a band there between 35 to 43-ish, you know, that would sort of put you where you need to be.
And do you know anybody who's prolific on LinkedIn in the world of marketing and perhaps run meetups that would mention that in one of their stories?
So this is obviously like a well listened to podcast by Joe's mum, and she'll probably tweet out at some point. where do you want us to send people who are looking for that kind of role? Like where can they?
Yeah, I want to talk to them.
So yeah. Just look up Andy Lord Credercy on LinkedIn.
Yeah, andy.lord@credercy.com or Andy Lord on LinkedIn or give them my mobile number. Don't give them my mobile number.
Consider it done.
Yeah. 07.
Yeah. Well, I don't mind. Listen, I've got all the time in the world for people who cold call. I used to work in sales. Well, I still do, right? But in a less dignified way. I don't know whether that's true either. I used to do outreach cold calling, right? And I know how terrifying and horrible and nasty that world is. If I get a cold call, I always take the call, always. I always thank them for the time. If I can do, I like to be a little condescending with how they approached it and some of the techniques that they used. If they're any good, I tell them I'm hiring and come and talk to me. And if they're rude and horrible, I'll tell them, just wait till you see how popular I am on LinkedIn and you're going on there. So if anyone wants to ring me, I'm totally fine with that. Not a problem at all. My number is on LinkedIn.
Awesome.
Andy, that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that. Thanks for being our first guest.
Yeah, first guest.
Thank you. When does it go out? And then I can get my mum to listen.